enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Good morning. So this morning, before I start my sermon, I wanted to share with you a story about my daughter. So my daughter's sitting here in the second row. Her name is Alethea, and she absolutely loves science. She is a bundle of energy, and she loves other things too. She loves running around with our new puppy. She loves this. Just this morning, she was chasing him around our yard and trying to get all of his energy out before we left for church. She also loves running and playing field hockey. This year, she was one of the tallest kids on her team, strongest kids and oldest kids on her team, and she ruled the field this fall. And like I said, one of the things that she really loves is science, and her daddy and she do a lot of science experiments together. Constantly when we're at like the craft store or at Target, we'll see different science kits, and she's always asking to get a new science kit or for them to do some kind of new science experiment together. She loves building things, seeing how things work. Just last night, she was making suggestions of new cakes that we could build together and make some kind of incredible cake creation. So she's just always thinking how things work and thinking through those different things. Well, there's a show that she loves to watch, and I actually approve of this show, and I encourage her to watch it. It's called SciGirls. I don't know if anybody's heard of this. It's a show on PBS. So the show is a half an hour long, and it's where a group of middle school age girls, so like Bridget's age girls, are working together. There's some kind of problem, and they have some kind of question, and they're working together to solve the problem, to do some kind of experiment or tests to figure out what the solution is. So the goal of this show, this is a quote from the show, the goal of SciGirls is nothing less than changing how millions of girls think about science, technology, engineering, and math. Every girl can be a SciGirl. I really love this show because of the empowerment that it's bringing to teenagers, to girls in our world. There's only about 21% of girls that graduate from school are going on to be joining the engineering fields. I think that more women should be able to join this field. And so it's really exciting that you have this show, and then creators of different children's toys, like Goldie Blocks is a brand of toy that we really enjoy, my daughter really enjoys. And it comes with all of these different pieces, sort of like Kinex that are geared toward boys. Goldie Blocks is a similar type of toy geared toward girls, where they're building many different things, and including carousels and movie machines and all of these different things. And so it's definitely a show in a field that we encourage our daughter, who she really loves doing these things. We encourage her in that area. It's exciting that in the fields of science and technology and engineering, that there are things being done that haven't been done before and geared toward girls. So from our readings this morning, I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Acts, chapter 10. So thank you to those of you who read. I know those were kind of lengthy chunks of scripture, but it's helping to build a background to our lesson today. So we read about Peter, and when he was traveling, and he became hungry, and he stopped at this man's house to eat, and then he had this vision during when he was waiting for the meal to be prepared. At that time, he was traveling and preaching. He was preaching after Jesus had just been crucified, risen from the dead, and ascended to heaven. He was preaching the good news to the world. And so as he's traveling, he had a good message. He had good intentions, and he was preaching. There were Jewish Christians that were setting expectations at that time for the new believers. They were expecting new believers to follow the law of Moses that they had followed their whole lives. they were expecting new believers to become circumcised so that they could truly know who were believers and who were not believers. These were not requirements that God was placing on people. These were requirements that the Jewish Christians were placing on people. With this expectation, they had a way of identifying who was in and who was out, who had been changed, who had not been changed. The new believers were being treated like outsiders, that if they didn't become circumcised, they were seen as second class. Well, you're Christian, but you're not really in. You're not really part of the group. This was wrong. This was a mistreatment of these new Christians. And it was also, we also see in the story of the Good Samaritan, the mistreatment of different races in Judaism. In the story of Peter, he's standing on the threshold between Jewish tradition and the holiness of the new Gentile world. Well, as a child, I had this book that I really enjoyed reading. My brother and I enjoyed it together, and we would always beg for our parents to read it to us over and over again. And it's Dr. Seuss's book, The Sneetches. So I brought a copy of it with me today. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I wanted to read a couple parts to you today. So I'll explain more of the story in a moment. I'm going to read this passage first. It says, "But because they had stars, all the star-bellied sneetches would brag. We're the best kind of sneetches on the beaches. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort. We'll have nothing to do with this plain belly sort." And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. So the sneetches, who did not have stars on their bellies, you can see them if you can see in this picture, they're moping about on the beaches. And the sneetches who had stars, they're playing ball, they're having fun. Going on in the story, they go on to have marshmallow roasts on the beach and exclude the sneetches who didn't have stars on their bellies. They didn't let them participate. Well, this enraged the sneetches. They were so upset. And then this man showed up in town, and his name was Sylvester McMonkey McBean. He showed up with a machine that would put stars on the sneetches' bellies. So the sneetches would march into the machine, they'd go through the machine, they'd come out with a star in their belly. Well, the sneetches who had stars thought, now we can't tell each other apart. We don't know who had stars before and now who are the new ones with stars. They were all mixed up. You would think this was wonderful. But it wasn't. The sneetches who had the stars on their bellies, they wanted to know who the real sneetches with stars were. So they told McBean, can you make a machine that takes our stars off? So then we'll be the better ones because we have no stars. And so he made this machine, and those sneetches went through the machine, and it took their stars off. And this went on and on with the sneetches, going through the machine, getting their stars on and their stars off, spending all their money. Until all their money was gone, McBean had pockets full of money, and he rode off into the sunset, and the sneetches were left all mixed up. In our story about Peter, before he had the vision, he was on the road approaching Caesarea, which was a Gentile city. And Peter should have been expecting to minister to Gentiles there. He should have been expecting, if I'm going to a Gentile city, that I'm going to speak to Gentiles and be ministering to them. But he was very focused on the Jews. He wanted to tell the Jews the incredible news of Jesus. Well, when he had the vision of the sheet filled with animals that the law of Moses had said were unclean, in the vision, God told him, kill and eat. And what did Peter say? He said, no. He said, I can't do that. It's unclean. And God said, don't call unclean what I am calling clean. And he told him this three times. And then the sheet was taken back to heaven. Peter had ample opportunities to get the message that God was communicating to him. And he missed it. And he kept missing it. And then Peter was brought to Cornelius, who had to straight out tell him, this is what the vision meant that God was communicating to you. So we read that in verses 3 through 8. I'll reread part of that. This is Cornelius is having the vision. It says, one day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision that God came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and the gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. So now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius was a centurion. He was in a position representing the heart and power of the Roman military and was one of the most important people in the Roman world, was the position that he held. Yet he was a God-fearer, and his entire household feared God and worshiped God. They observed the Jewish hours of prayer. They were Gentiles, but they were serving God. They were living in a way, it says in the word, that pleased God. The day after Cornelius summoned him, Peter arrived at Cornelius' house. And in this story, Peter represents the Jerusalem church of solidly Jewish Christians who have difficulty seeing God's inclusion of the Gentiles in the family of God. Even though Peter has been shown this and told this over and over again, he just continues to miss it. And he even comes into the house of Cornelius and he hears Cornelius's vision. Cornelius tells him what his vision was. And finally, it clicks in Peter's mind what God is trying to tell him and what God's plan is for this new covenant community. And Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Peter finally recognizes on a personal level that these people can be included and acknowledged that these people were part of the church. I think he was having such a difficult time understanding that that is the point where God's grace covers all of us. That it's not just those Jewish Christians, but also the Gentiles and the new Christians. His personal epiphany is not enough to make change, however. It needs to be shared. It needs to be spread among the nations. And so Peter began a movement in the early church preaching this message of God, that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation of those who fear him and do what is right. In the story of the Sneetches, it doesn't end with them being all mixed up. Those of you who have read it know this. The story ends much more peaceably. Once McBean had left, and the Sneetches were all left standing on the beach, it says, but McBean was quite wrong. I'm happy to say that the Sneetches got really quite smart on that day. That day they decided that Sneetches are Sneetches, and no kind of Sneetch is the best on the beaches. That day all the Sneetches forgot about stars, and whether they had one or not. Upon theirs. The Jewish Christians that were there with Peter as he was traveling, he wasn't traveling alone, he had people with him. So they were Jewish Christians traveling with him, which makes sense. They were not convinced that the Gentiles were truly part of the church because they had not been circumcised. Before Peter himself could make any connection of the message with these God-fearers, before he could give an altar call or open up, you know, give this grand speech about God accepting everyone, God poured out the Holy Spirit upon the God-fearers and upon the Jewish Christians that were there in Cornelius' home. The God-fearers, Cornelius' family, they began to praise God and to speak in tongues. And the Jewish Christians saw this, and they were astonished. that God didn't show favoritism and just pour out his spirit on the Jewish Christians, but that he had done this on the Gentiles as well. And so baptism was one of the first steps that the Gentiles experienced to becoming Jewish followers, that Peter baptized Cornelius and all of his household that day. And that was the sign that they were truly God followers. This was something radically new for Peter to do, to baptize Gentiles. So a major step had been taken in this story of Peter in the home of Cornelius, that huge barriers had been broken. Things that separated the church, that caused division in the church, were now broken down, and the people were able to all come together to be worshiping God. So Peter's message that God doesn't show favoritism is still applicable to us today. Like in the hymn that we were just singing, that it doesn't matter if you're from the north or the south, the east or the west, of what race you are, of what tribe you're from, that God still welcomes into the community of believers all people, that everyone is welcome. And all are welcome, it means every race or ethnicity, all political opinions, all social classes, all cultures, all ages, all genders, all upbringings, all education levels, and all varying abilities.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.